In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 6 days into October, and tomorrow the 7th is the Feast of the Holy Rosary. And have any of us thought, how am I doing on my rosary? Am I saying it daily? Is my family saying it? If I am saying it, am I saying it as I ought to? We have something so powerful in our hands every time we begin a rosary, and yet we think little of it. Even in this month, unfortunately, that's dedicated to Our Lady and to her rosary. A story which many of you have heard, but which bears repeating in the light of this little devotion, which has such power attached to it, is the story of Naaman. And this application was made by a bishop, certainly a very good one. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Naaman. He was the general of the Syrian army, second in command, certainly in the empire, in the Syrian kingdom. Very important man who had leprosy and was dying. And his wife had a maidservant who was a Jew. And this maidservant said, if my master could only be in Israel where there is a prophet, Eliseus, he certainly would heal him. Naaman took this to heart and decided he would go on a journey to Israel to ask the prophet for a cure, to cure him of this leprosy. And so he went with his servants, with his grand chariots, and he went on this journey to the prophet in Israel. When he arrived, he pulled up to his very humble home. You can imagine the chariot just stopping right in front. Naaman waiting for the prophet to come out. Eliseus, though, he sent his servant, Gehazi, he sent him out to tell Naaman what to do to be cured. He told him to go to the River Jordan and to bathe 7 times. And Naaman, when he heard this from a humble servant, was very angry. I came to see a prophet. I, the second in the kingdom of Syria, I came to see a prophet, and I expected this prophet to come out, raise his hands over me, and cure me of my leprosy. And yet he tells me to wash in the Jordan. Aren't the rivers of Damascus much cleaner than the Jordan? And so he was about to leave without doing this. And his servant told him, if he had told you to do something great, you would have done it. Is that right? And of course, Naaman had to admit, yes, if he had asked me to do something great, I would have done it. Well, he asked you to do something little. Why don't you do this little thing and see? And so Naaman, he went to the River Jordan and bathed 7 times and was miraculously cured. The rosary is a little thing, and many of us pass over it, and yet it has so much power tied to it. And that is because God has willed to give it this power. It's a design of divine providence. Leo XIII, he recalls in one of his many encyclicals on the rosary, he recalls how this devotion has been given so much power by God for Catholics to use in times of great need. In the times when the church is suffering from heresy or from persecution or is under attack from enemies, it's the rosary which conquers. And we see this power given right from the very beginning. Right when St. Dominic received the rosary from Our Lady, it was in Toulouse in southern France. St. Dominic was preaching against the Albigensian heretics, but his preaching seemed to have no effect. Many hardened sinners continued in their ways, and he was disheartened. And so he went into the woods, and he fasted and prayed and did penance for 3 days and 3 nights. And on the last of these 3 days and 3 nights, he scourged himself so much, his flesh was torn, and he passed out. But he awoke to a vision of Our Lady. And Our Lady told him that it was through her Psalter, through her rosary, that these hardened sinners would be touched. And so St. Dominic, refreshed by this, he woke up and he went into the town. And miracles began to be worked already by God to show how much he loves the rosary and how much importance he attaches to it. As he went into the town, the bells began to ring, though no one was ringing them. So everyone, alarmed by this, came to the church, and St. Dominic went into the pulpit and began preaching. But just as he did so, a tremendous storm arose, and the sky was completely blackened, and the earth was shaking. There was so much lightning and thunder that everyone was quaking with fear. And just then, there was an image of Our Lady in a prominent place in the church. And they looked to Our Lady, and she raised her hands up three times. And it is said as if she was calling down God's vengeance if the people would not listen and not turn to her. And St. Dominic, preaching on the rosary, as he continued preaching, the storm started to subside. And the people were so touched by these miracles and by St. Dominic's fervent preaching that they took up the rosary. And soon enough, this heresy of the Albigensians, it began to subside. But the devil, he fought tooth and nail against it. The devil hates the rosary. And there was a heretic when St. Dominic was preaching in Carcassonne in a nearby town. There was a heretic who was possessed by many devils. And this heretic came to fight against the rosary. He was brought to St. Dominic because he had been fighting against the rosary and publicly saying things against it. So he is brought to St. Dominic, and St. Dominic compelled the demons who were within him to answer his questions. He asked them if all that he had said about the rosary was true, and the demon said, "We are forced to admit that everything you say is very true. Everything you have preached about the dignity, the power, the nobility of this rosary, it's absolutely true." And they said, "We are constrained to declare that no one is lost who perseveres in the devotion to Mary and in the devotion of the Most Holy Rosary, for Mary obtains for sinners a true repentance before death." And then St. Dominic asked everyone to kneel down and start saying the rosary. And as they did so, at each Hail Mary, a demon went forth from this man, and it was in the form of a hot coal coming out of his mouth. This is at the origin of the rosary, just beginning to be preached. Almighty God is working tremendous miracles. The feast tomorrow, it's in commemoration of another great miracle, the miracle of Lepanto, the story we all know so well, where all the faithful of Catholic Europe prayed the Holy Rosary, and the winds miraculously changed in favor of the Christian army that was sailing against the Turks and was able to conquer them in a battle, a singular victory like no other. Again, God emphasizes the rosary at Fatima. We see it all through history. At Fatima again, working miracles to confirm what Our Lady came to tell the children, that the Holy Rosary must be prayed. Sister Lucy afterwards tells us that Our Lady gave the rosary in our times even more power than it had before, so that there is no problem, temporal but especially spiritual, which the rosary can't solve. No problem that it can't solve. The rosary is very powerful. The rosary is first and foremost meant to change us. Yes, we see so often the rosary in these great events in history, these great attacks of heresy or the enemies of Christendom. We see the rosary conquering on this grand scale. But the rosary has to first conquer in our own soul. That is what God wants. The rosary has to change us when we pray it. Yes, God has worked so many great miracles to show us just how important the rosary is, to convince us that He wants us to pray it. But He also He cares so much about the rosary, because after the Mass, there is no greater means than the rosary of converting us, of changing us. We all need this conversion. We all must change in one way or another. None of us sitting in this church now, none of us can say, "I'm where I should be. I'm fine. I can just relax. I'm on the way. Heaven's granted." None of us can say that. We all have something we need to fix. Some in major ways, some in lesser ways, but we all have something we have to fix. So many of us were so comfortable in our laxity, so comfortable. No, we have to change, and God wants us to change through the prayer of the rosary. Why the rosary? Because as a prayer, it obtains every grace. It's as St. Louis de Montfort in that beautiful book, The Secret of the Rosary, as he points out there, he says, we say in the rosary the most sublime prayers we know, the Our Father, the prayer that the Son of God gave us, the Hail Mary, this angelic salutation, this prayer from the angel Gabriel, this prayer of heaven itself, the Glory Be, this prayer of praise to the Holy Trinity, these three greatest prayers we have, it's what makes up the rosary, and it's a beautiful blend of vocal and mental prayer, both absolutely necessary to save our souls. If we don't pray, we won't save our souls. The rosary especially is fruitful because it makes us have this contact we need with Almighty God. Whatever we are in contact with, it draws us up or down. And so many of us, we're in contact with the world so much. This world taints us. And we spend so little time in prayer, so little time meditating. And it's the rosary which brings the mysteries of our faith, it brings them to us so that we have contact with them. And it's this contact which elevates and sanctifies us. And we pray at the end of the rosary that we can imitate what they contain. We want to imitate what the rosary contains, these different mysteries. This contact with the sacred, it's what draws us up towards God. If we aren't praying our rosary, are any of us really praying? Yes, maybe we'll say our morning prayers. Maybe we'll say our evening prayers. But if we're not saying our rosary, are we praying? And St. Alphonsus is very categorical. Those in heaven are there because they prayed. Those in hell are there because they did not pray. Yes, we have to pray because this is what's going to change us. It's what's going to unite us to God. And to convince us of this fact, we have so many stories, so many miracles. There is one very touching story about a young woman who lived in Rome. Her name was Catherine the Beautiful, but she lived a very sinful life. And she heard St. Dominic once preaching a sermon on the rosary. And she determined, I need to start praying the rosary. So she signed up, she signed herself as a member of the confraternity of the rosary, and she began saying it, but she said it very poorly, and she continued her sinful life. And one day, a young nobleman, as it appeared, came to her door, and she welcomed him in, and they sat down to a meal, and as they were eating, she suddenly, in complete shock, saw blood on his hands. And she asked him what it was. She was shocked. He was breaking bread and there was blood. And this young man told her, a Christian should take no food that was not tinged with the blood of Jesus Christ, seasoned with the memory of his passion. So she's somewhat confused and she asks, well, who are you? And he says, soon I will show you. And they finished the meal and then went to another room. And in that room, the youth changed and showed himself crowned with thorns and his flesh torn. And he said to Catherine, do you wish to know who I am? Do you not know me? I am thy Redeemer, Catherine. When will you cease to offend me? See how much I have suffered for you. You have grieved me enough. Change your life. And so Catherine, of course, wept bitterly. And our Lord told her, now begin to love me as much as you have offended me, and know that you have received this grace from me on account of the rosary you have been accustomed to recite in honor of my mother. And he disappeared. It was the rosary which gave her that grace of God himself appearing to her and asking her to change. And she completely converted. She immediately went to St. Dominic and asked him to hear her confession. She gave up all of her possessions to the poor, and she led such a holy life that the Blessed Mother often appeared to her, and our Lord himself revealed to St. Dominic that she had acquired a great, great level of sanctity and that she was very dear to him. What a miracle was worked because of the rosary. God wants to change our hearts with this rosary. He changes convents with it. Jane, a nun, began to say her rosary in this very lax convent, and she was mocked and ridiculed for it. And the abbot came one day after Jane had been praying in her cell. She received a letter from Our Lady who confirmed her in her practice and asked her to continue her work of praying the rosary. This abbot came and he tried to reform this convent, but he couldn't do it. And then he heard of this holy nun Jane's practice. And so he asked the entire convent to start saying the rosary. And they did, and that entire convent became a paradise, as St. Alphonsus says. The rosary changes us. That is why we must say it. We do not hesitate to affirm that any family that says the rosary, the faith will blossom in their family. They will have vocations. The spirit of worldliness will be kept at bay. The rosary has that power. We have to be convinced. Our Lady is very liberal with those who even have the slightest devotion to her. Even the slightest devotion, she pays it back richly. So we must try this month especially to say our rosary and to say it well. Make that offering to Our Lady. Perhaps that after Mass you could come to Our Lady's altar and you can make this offering to her. Tell her that you will try harder this month to say your rosary well. Perhaps you can't say the entire rosary, though that's hard to imagine. 15 minutes isn't much, even for a large family. We can waste 15 minutes on Facebook, browsing the internet, watching a YouTube video. We can waste it without even thinking. But 15 minutes for the rosary, we're startled. No, I can't take that time. But if perhaps we can't say it, at least start saying one decade a day with your family. And as you get in that habit, start saying two, and then three, and then four, and then all five. Make this offering to Our Lady. She will accept it, and she will reward it. A young man, final story, a young man on the sea was traveling, and there happened to be a priest on this boat. And he saw this young man reading an impure, indecent book. And the man was delighting in it. And the priest went to him, and he said, "Will you do something for me?" He said, "Well, yes, of course, Father." He said, "Would you make an offering to Our Lady?" The young man said, "Sure, I'll make an offering to Our Lady." "What is it, Father? What would you like me to do?" "I want you to tear that book up and throw it in the ocean." He said, "Well, here it is, Father. You can do it." "No, do it yourself." And he did. He tore it up, threw it in the ocean. When he got back to Genoa, his hometown, he was so touched by God's grace, so filled with the love of God because of Mary's intercession, that he ended up becoming a religious, leading an exemplary life. Our Lady repays these little offerings we make her. Go to her altar and ask her for her help to say the rosary and make this promise to her. Yes, let us start. Start now if we're not in the practice, and then persevere in it. Persevere, because one last story. Thomas A Kempis, he fell off in his devotion to Our Lady at one point. And after a short time, he had a dream. And he saw Our Lady going up to all of his companions and hugging them. But she did not come to him. She would not hug him. She would not embrace him. And he asked why, and she said, "Because you have left off your devotion to me." Let's persevere in our rosaries and use it as God wants. It's in our hands. It's so simple. Naaman, he didn't take advantage of something simple, something so powerful. We have it in our hands. Let's use it this month, and we will find God will work miracles, miracles of grace in our own souls and those of our family and in all of this society which is crumbling around us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.